Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q3 2010 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation, followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you'd like to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 15th of November 2010. And I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Jordi Molina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Natasha, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today to the third quarter 2010 results conference. Joining us today in this event, we have Eduardo Sanchez, Chief Financial Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Per Olof Andersson, Chief Scientific Officer. I now hand over to Eduardo for the opening remarks, and at the end of the addressments, we will open a Q&A session.
Okay, thank you, Jordi, and good morning to everyone. In the third quarter, and actually during the whole of 2010, year to date, the performance has been very much in line with the expectations that we set at the beginning of the year. So year to date, we see that our net sales have gone down by 3.5%, primarily driven by the performance in Spain, which has been going down year-to-date in sales by 4.6%, of which the large majority, actually 3.8 percentage points, are related to price erosion with the arrival again of generics for some key products and also the introduction of price referencing for also some products. The gross profit is eroding a bit more than that, and this is the combination of the price effect, the mandatory discount of 7.5% in Spain primarily, and also the mix of sales. Other income has continued to increase consistently during all the quarters of this year, and also R&D expenses have been going up substantially, as it was also anticipated, and primarily driven by the phase 3 studies on acrylamide bromide. On the other hand, we have continued to put substantial pressure to reduce and to control the evolution of SG&A. As you can see, year to date, SG&A is going down by 6.2%, driven by cost discipline and the savings generated by all the restructuring that we have done over the last couple of years. With all that, basically, the performance of the normalized net income is down 4%. Again, as I said, very much in line with the expectations that we set at the beginning of the year, where we indicated that sales and normalized net income would evolve basically down in the mid-single digits. Moving on to the performance on the balance sheet, perhaps the only two things worthwhile to mention is you may see an increase in intangible assets, primarily driven by some of the business development projects. Also, a substantial decrease in accounts receivable, as we have been basically taking money from some of the operations that were done, particularly the sale of non-core products that we did last year. Also, financial debt has been going up slightly, since in order to pay for some of the business development projects, it was cheaper for us to resort to debt rather than to undo some positions in our cash investments where we were getting some nice interest rates nowadays. Net debt continues to be very low, nevertheless, at this point is basically 0.13 times EBITDA anticipated for the year. And then when it comes to cash flow, we continue to have a positive evolution in the cash flow, a good generation of free cash flow at 79 million. Basically, the difference versus the performance of free cash flow versus last year comes almost straight from the profit before tax that we have compared to the exercise of last year. So altogether, again, P&L performance impacted by the mandatory discounts in Spain and the arrival of generics and price referencing for some key products, significant efforts to contain the cost while we continue to nurture our pipeline. And at the same time, we work very closely to ensure the appropriate management of our balance sheet and a good cash flow generation. A few comments perhaps regarding Q4 before I pass the word to Luciano, but we expect in Q4 level of sales very similar to what we have seen in Q3. While we expect to have a better gross margin as percentage on sales during Q4. Basically, R&D and SG&A will continue the pattern. Q4 typically has been for Almirall a heavy quarter in terms of investment in R&D and SG&A, and we expect a similar pattern during Q4 this year. I also would like to mention that we expect, as we have done in the past, to have some restructuring charges during Q4. This year they will be actually higher than what we had last year. With all that, still we confirm the guidance for the year, the one that we have maintained basically since mid this year, with again a decline in sales and normalized net income in the mid-single digits. One comment also I would like to make, moving on to some of the ongoing corporate development efforts, is that, as you all know, we had targeted the signature of an agreement with a partner for a clinium bromide in Japan before the end of this year. Now, the results of the recent study on a clinium bromide, basically, and even though the discussions are going very well with partners in Japan, but basically the signature of an agreement will only take place after we receive the results of the next phase 3 study on clinium bromide due during the first quarter of 2011. So with that, I will pass the word to my colleague Luciano Conde.
Thank you, Eduardo, and thank you everybody for being attending the teleconference. The company results achieved up to the third quarter 2010 are aligned with our guidance. The main reasons for the evolutions are the results of Spain, which is declining 4.6%, and this is the first quarter we will have the full impact of the measures from the authorities. The low-margin toll manufacturing business accrued in the corporate sales continues its decline following our decisions to progressively discontinue it. Our own affiliates have continued to grow, with positive results especially in Mexico, France, Germany, the UK and Poland. Most of the affiliates have suffered measures from their governments, and we have adjusted the promotional resources accordingly. We have also initiated our activities in Scandinavia, with our first invoice sales taking place in September. By the other hand, the partners' business reflects the lower sales of Avastin in Japan so far. We continue to show positive evolution in two of our key strategic areas, dermatology and gastrointestinal, and we are improving our evolution in respiratory versus the previous quarters, showing the recovery in the sales of Avastin. The decline in cardiovascular is basically due to the decline of atorvastatin, Prevencor. I would like to call your attention to the evolution of our oral antidiabetics products, Tesavel and Efficif. It is already our 11th product by sales volume, with an impressive 177% growth versus last year. Overall, the negative impact of the government measures has been offset by the good evolution of some key products of our portfolio, and we have been able to minimize the impact up to a small decline in sales. We have introduced at the end of this quarter three products to the market, two in Spain, Combriza and Silodix, and one in Europe, Toctino. We continue to prepare the rollout of Sativex in different territories across Europe in 2011. A new alternative to treat multiple sclerosis patients with spasticity will be soon available in our key European markets. And with this, I will pass the word to Per Olav Anders.
Thank you, Luciano, and good morning, everyone. In R&D, our key projects are moving forward. First, aclidinium bromide, where last month we presented the results from the second of three phase 3 studies. The study met its primary endpoint. Bronchodilatation was, however, numerically lower than that seen in the first phase 3 study with a BID dosing regimen, as well as that seen in two recently completed phase 2 studies. A third conclusive phase 3 study, EU-based, is near completion and will report out during the next quarter. If positive, we and our partner Forest aim to file for approval in the EU and in the US in the middle of 2011. The combination project, aclidinium bromide plus formoterol, is completing the phase 2B program, and this will be reported later this quarter. With linaclotide, for which we licensed pan-European rights from Ironwood Pharma, we have recently reported positive and clinically significant effects in both of the phase 3 studies in IBS-C. Based on these results, we aim to file for EU approval in the second half of 2011. Finally, in the derma pipeline, we're moving forward with positive results from the phase 3 study for Acticaral, LAS 41005, our novel treatments for actinic keratosis, being presented at the recent European Academy of Dermatology and Venerology meeting in Gothenburg. Filing using the decentralized procedure was done late last year, and we are expecting approval during the first part of 2011. So with regard to news flow, said you can expect phase 2b data for Aclidinium plus formoterol later this year, as well as the third phase 3 study for the mono product of a clear Aclidinium bromide in the first quarter of next year. And this will then follow approvals, will follow filings for Eclira in the EU and the US, as I said, mid-2011, and linaclotide filing in the second half of 2011. And with that, I will hand back to Jordi for Q&A.
Thank you very much to all. Natasha, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. That's star 1 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hi, I've just got a few questions, thank you very much. Firstly, on the Aclidinium bromide program, can I just confirm that will we see any further details from the Accord COPD2 trial prior to seeing the ATTAIN results, or will the next new flow on that be the headline ATTAIN results when you put out the press release for that in early 2011? And then on the financials, just two questions. Firstly, could you tell us what the adjustment you've made to the third quarter? I think it's $500,000 or so adjustment you made to get from net income to normalized profits during the third quarter. And the second financial question is, if you look at the other sales, it looks as though you've restated other sales. So the number, I think, in 3Q seems to be negative in the therapeutic area analysis. Could you just go through perhaps what's happened there and which were where the adjustment went into the prior quarters? Thank you.
Where do you want to start?
Yes, let's start with Aclidinium bromide then. So we are currently further analyzing the data of the Accord 2 study and also are going to have discussions with key investigators, opinion leaders. It is therefore not likely that we will present additional data on this until we have the full data set on all the three studies.
When it comes to the financial questions, first of all, in terms of the difference between the net income and the normalized net income, it basically relates to some indemnities that have already been paid related to some of those restructuring charges. Again, the bulk of those charges will actually take place during Q4. But we have already accounted for some of that in terms of the extraordinary indemnities during Q3. And sorry, but I couldn't quite well understand your second financial question. Could you repeat it?
Oh, yes, sorry. If we look at the sales where you present by area in terms of by therapeutic area, so cardiovascular, CNS, et cetera, it looks as though you reported in the first half sales in the other category of 10.5, 11, but you reported in this period less than that. So actually you end up with a negative number. So I'm just wondering what the restatement was in your therapeutic sales between the second quarter and the third quarter results.
I don't have in front of me right now the breakdown. It may just be a reclassification in between different categories, but I don't think it's very material, to be honest. So
okay.
I'm sorry I cannot answer the question.
No, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
Instead, please follow up with Jordi Molina after the call.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Maura Garbiro of One Investments. Please ask your question.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if you can give us a guideline on the contribution for 2011 for the four product launches you have in 2010. And secondly, on the tax rate, it looks as in the third quarter, the tax rate was much lower than in the previous quarter. So if you can give us an explanation and maybe a guideline for the rest of the year. And finally, you mentioned some extraordinary items in the fourth quarter. So if you can quantify that, it would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Now, first of all, regarding 2011, I think it's a little bit too soon to start talking about that. So let's wait until we finish this year, and we will be glad to give some initial guidance on all the different aspects, including maybe some of the potential pre-marketing expenses when we give guidance for 2011. When it comes to the tax rate, I mean, we typically see every year that as the year progresses and because of the increase during the year of R&D expenses, we see the effective tax rate going down. I think that for the whole of this year and because of the substantial increase in R&D expenses during 2010, we expect to have very low effective tax rate. Again, remember that this is driven by two elements. On the one hand is the total amount of absolute R&D OpEx during the year, as well as the increase from one year to the next. Since in this case, in 2010, we have a lot of both. So we have, on the one hand, a very high figure, primarily driven, as I said earlier, by the aclidinium bromide phase III trials. And on the other hand, there is a substantial increase versus last year that will help us to push the effective tax rate down. And we expect that to be, for the whole of 2010, in the low single digits, very low single digits for this year. When it comes to restructuring charges, again, basically in the context of diminishing sales, we have been very aggressive in the company trying to manage the P&L. Over the last 2 years, we already made some efforts to reduce the cost of goods as well as the operating expenses. Last year, we had a substantial figure as a restructuring charge for the whole year, and the majority of which took place during Q4. The amount was 8.5 million euros, and we expect the figure for this year to be higher than that figure. I'm sorry I cannot be much more specific because we are still managing the communication process, but that, again, will take place across a variety of geographies and functional areas. But again, this will help us to reduce the level of expenses next year and to continue to manage appropriately our P&L.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this point. Please continue.
Well, if no further questions are on top of the table, well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for participating, and thanks for your interest in the company. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.